Little Bessie, Channel 1 over, Saturday, the 2nd of February, 74.
2 weeks later, after they got divorced.
She's wondering what could she give him for a wedding present. I said, you mean to tell me?
She was wondering.
You know, it's the girl laughs at me, Miss Miles. She says the way, she said, you know what, because I fell twice. I fell down the stairs over there just before Christmas. And I fell one night. I just lost my balance. And all I remember was trying to catch. And I had a place almost big as a saucer on my hip. I don't know if this foot was bent way back. I don't know if I hit the heel of my shoe, but I'm lucky I didn't break my leg. But that place was so I couldn't hardly sit down on my hip. And I showed it to Tom, and he was laughing. He said, "That looked like somebody kicked you." I said, "All of us would have been in jail or somewhere if it was." But then she told me, see, they went to Spain. And she had a beautiful spread that she brought back from Spain. And she said the spread was in the drawer. Well, I knew this little TV, like Mr. Miles,
yeah,
you had at that best of the last time. Well, it was one in that room he had like that. He took that TV. He took all the guns, even to her father's gun, which she said she wanted. And she said, I said, you should move your guns, some of those guns. I said, Mr. Dawes going to come in here and take them, you know, just out of a clear blue sky. And she said, well, he's not coming here, Bessie. And he was somewhere in the dark watching her when she left to go to Bowl, because she hadn't got to Shell's service station before he knocked on that door. When he did, I said, who is it? He said, it's me, Bessie. So I looked at the door to be sure it was him. And then I opened the door. I unlocked the door. So when he came in, well, this woman's husband had beat him up that Wednesday night. So he had cut his dogs out because the man beat him up. She didn't know nothing about the man beating him up. She's here and the man was out there in Trenton. So see, and he's telling, you know, the woman was telling him that he was a single man and she wanted her divorce to marry him. And she had three children for her husband, two girls and a boy. And when June called and told him that I am the other woman, I want to know what kind of woman this is, if she's going to be with my children. So now I come find out the woman just as good as she is. She said, I am the other woman. She said, I'm Dave's wife. He said, wife? She said, yes. He said, well, I thought he was a single man. She said, no, he's not a single man. He's rushing me, trying to make me give him a divorce. But I have five children. So he gets the cop. He said he no good when she was going out with him. Because he'd go down and babysit with the children. He was his children. And he'd go down there and babysit with the children. He said he got tired of her carrying on, and he just went on and divorced her. So he took the policeman and went there and beat him up before the cops. And so the cops stopped him. So he's mad with Ms. Dawes. See, Dave broke up her home. And I think John wanted to come to see her. And I said, well, now what y'all doing? Y'all just swapping husbands. But she was laughing at me.
But then she wanted to know what to give him for a wedding.
Yeah, she wanted to know what to give him for a wedding present. I said, you mean to tell me? No, and she said, best of that spread that I brought back from Spain. She said, although he gave it to me, he bought it for me. It was the only thing that he bought for me while I was over there. just everything else I bought out of my money. The things for the kids. And his ponchos, you know, she bought one for herself. And he had taken the spread. I said, now you mean to tell me he's your husband, divorced you, gonna marry another woman, you gonna give him a wedding present? She said, yes.
2 weeks later.
I said, heavens help you. So she laughed. I said, I wish one would sit down and wait for me to give him a wedding present. Then she told me they came out there one night. I said, he had to go all to bring her here? She said, yeah. I said, oh, Father, it should have been me, because I said, the police would have come and got me. I said, because I think I had to throw some hot water on both of them. She said, no, Bessie. I said, oh, yes. I said, no way. I said, he wouldn't have left me and come in and take what he wants and then walk out with another and bring the woman here, too. I said, mm-mm. So he goes down to Collier School where Eric goes. When he came by the house that day, Dina and Krista and myself were sitting there. I took me some cottage cheese and lettuce over. Tomato, I think, a hard-boiled egg or something I had. But anyhow, I had given the kids, you know, their lunch, and I was eating the cottage cheese. So I said, I think I hit a car right there. So Dina said, Bessie, you hear a car? I said, oh, it sounds like a car. Then I heard the walking on the porch. And I got up and I looked out the window there in the dining room where he started and had never finished. As long until he started running with this woman, he worked on the house. But when he got so tied up with her, the house is just like he fixed no more than she had the bathroom fixed. Because I told her, I said, I'm scared to go in there, sit down there. I said, I'm scared if I sit on that commode, I'm going on through on the ground. So she said, that's how I better have it fixed. I said, you better do something. When I went to the door, and I opened the door, and I looked at, you know, I think the expression on my face changed. So he said, hello, Bessie. I said, how do you do, Mr. Dawes? So she said, hello, Bessie. I said, how do you do? She said, I've heard an awful lot of talk about you. I said, you have? Not cracking a smile. So Christian Dina, you know, heard me talking, and so, boy, here they come tearing. And they went to hollering, Daddy, Daddy, they're so crazy about it. But they won't care about him. They're little now, you know. I just think 2 years old. The baby wasn't 2 years old when he left there. So she said, oh, it was good. He said, we just went down to Collier to see Eric's teacher, and we thought we'd come by to see the children. Well, those are his three. He adopted the other two. See, they're her first husband, sure. Mm-hmm. And he adopted them, but she had three for him, and was dying to have the fourth one. I said, you better let the fourth one stay where he is. So she took me at my word. She said, Bessie, I think I'd have died if I had found out that I was pregnant. I said, I told you to let the other one stay where he was. And they talked, and I didn't have too much to say, but she calls every now and again.
Oh, his wife, his new wife.
This new wife calls, once she wants to know how was the children, if they were well. I said, sure, they're well. I said, only Jenna fell in school and dislocated her knee. I said, she's on crutches. I said, but other than that, I said, she's going to school. I said, they all are fine. Well, I was just wondering, because we're supposed to see them over the weekend. I said, well, you see them over the weekend. And I told her that she called. She said, now I wonder what he's up to. I said, yes, I'm wondering too. Well, she wasn't staying out like she stay out now. I said, you better just be careful. I said, she always wait until after you leave. She know it's time, you know, before she, and then she'll call. Then she called and asked me when was the children's birthday. I said, well, I can tell you. Dina's is the 16th of May and Krista's is the 17th of May. And I say, and Leisha is in June, but I can't remember the date. And it come to me after the 28th, but I still, it was after I had talked to her. I said, Eric's is August. She said, oh, we know what Jenna's birthday. I said, seemed like Mr. Dawes would know what their birthdays were. He should, he's the father. Shouldn't he?
Thanks.
Oh, Bessie.
So she hadn't called since.
You really get things going, don't you?
I got something going.
If you, it's always happened like that. You don't have any dull moments. I declare to goodness.
Oh, Mr. Miles, I'm not like I used to be. I used to be a fiery little girl.
Oh, you used to get them cold?
Oh, I was so... And about my sister? I did all of my sister's fighting. I'd fight if you look at her hard. She was sickly. She's the oldest. And she was sickly, and I always thought people would just be picking on her because she was sickly. She'd look at her hard eyes, skin, why are you looking at my sister? She used to have nosebleeds so bad. We never got outside and played. Just to play, run up and down there in the yard. Say, a half hour. My mother had a... Oh, it was a room, a smokehouse they used to call it, but it was big as this kitchen, just without this wall here, back to that door. You know, all of it went back. She had a bed. Now, that was an old antique bed. She had a dresser, two chairs, and had a old straw rug. That's what people used to use years ago with the braid, you know, binding around
it.
And she had a rug on that floor. And we played in there. Because if she'd look at the sun, her nose would start to bleed, and then I'd start to cry. Because it looked like it would never stop.
Okay.
But the doctor told her it would, you know, stop. And it did. They couldn't stop. He said, stop it, we'd kill. But I started to cry. But the other children, I'd play with them. And I'd get tired of them and run them home. And my baby was the same way. He'd pray for a little while, and he'd tell you, I'm going in the house, you go home. We all.
So you did the scrapping for your older sister?
Yeah. I was brought up with my uncle, and I was a little rough, tough. I fell out of a pine tree.
Well, your whole family was pretty rough and tough. Like, only the boy. About
my
your
mother.
Father.
Oh, my daddy.
Holding out his arm.
Oh, my daddy was a big old... husky man.
Oh, was he?
Mm-hmm. And my mother now weighs around 250. She's too heavy now.
Oh, she does.
Mm-hmm. Aunt Bessie was the runt of the family. They say my grandmother, says she's just like my grandmother. I never saw my grandmother. She passed before I was born.
Oh, really?
And, they say her grandmama was short and small. Sam Bess is just like her. Had little short feet and all.
Yeah.
But my mother was a big old husky, tough woman. She picked 15 crates of beans the day I was born, so you know how tough she was. I told her, I said, no wonder I'm like a jackass. the day I was born, she says she picked 15 grains of beans. That's the one, I'm looking at.
Let me tell you, I don't know. Maybe I just started too late. I used to pick strawberries and things like that, you see. But when I come down here, the first farming I done was up there in the Flatwoods, up there in that potato country. And they had...
What potato country?
Sansi. Up there in the far corner of this county. They got some Flatwoods up there.
If I can see, did everything flat up. Is that on the road going like you're going out to Michinoba Junction?
No, that's going up to Santa Fe and...
I don't know where Santa Fe is.
Yeah.
And where do you go up to Latchway and...
I don't know even know where Latchway is. I've never been to Latchway.
Yeah, that's the wrong part of the county for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where I started up there, you see. And then I come from up there down here. And...
But you're farming.
Yes. And they had some of those beans. They were bunch beans. And they were just beautiful. And we picked about 2 hours on them. And then the price went out. And we just walked off and left them. And you know, I couldn't pick 2 hours. It just paralyzed my knees.
Well... You weren't by yourself by picking beans. I tried. I had a lot of, you know, friends. Boy, they could really pick beans. This same Burnett Patterson?
Yeah.
Now, his aunt, Gertrude. Boy, they could pick, she and Elizabeth Rollins could pick more beans than anybody I ever seen in my life. They'd pick 22 and 23 and 25 crates of beans every day.
Yeah.
So I'm going out to pick some beans and make some money too. So they going to show me how to pick beans. And they would always carry two rows. So you get between a row. All right, you have a row here and a row here.
Yeah.
You're in between them. You pick off this one and you pick off this one. You know, you keep up with them. But now everybody picking beans and I got a long stick turning the beans up looking for snakes to see if any snakes under there.
Well, you better.
And they said, "That's not a rattlesnake beam. I said, but a snake, whatever kind of it was, snake." I picked 13 crates of beans. Everybody, now they done got out their rows and was coming back up to meet me. I didn't get the 13, and they got 20 something.
I never found out how you're supposed to. Are you supposed to just hump over and do it? Or are you supposed to get out on your knees?
Some people get on their knees, and some... just lean over.
Some just lean over. That's what they done out there. Where I was picking.
Boy, you see them was just bending over picking. They really pick beans.
Oh,
they do.
Yeah, but they just died laughing at me. I picked twice. I picked 13 crates of beans.
Yeah.
And I went home, I had pneumonia. I was very sick, and it seemed like to me, everybody went picking beans, and I was home by myself. And you know, you tramps used to say tramps walked a lot then.
Yeah.
I said, I'm here by myself. Everybody's gone to pick beans. I said, what if I take a back set? You know, just thinking to myself, and nobody's here to get the doctor. I said, what if a tramp come down this railroad and I'm sitting at a railroad? I had all kinds of thoughts. So when my mother came from Palm Beach up here while I was sick, and my daddy, of course, my daddy and my mother had separated, and he had married another woman. But he come every night and sit up all night and get up and go and work on that railroad every morning when I was sick. Sit there all night long. He'd just go home and eat, change his clothes, come back and sit in the rocker in that room. Until Dr. Rosenberg said I was out of danger. And my mother and my aunt came in. I said, Mama, she said, what? I said, when you all make your lunch in the morning, you better make enough for me. So my aunt looked at me. She said, what? I said, make enough lunch for me. That's what. She said, well, what do you think you're going to do? I said, I'm going in the field with you all. I said, everybody going around and leaving me here by myself. I just as soon get up on the wagon and ride on out there, too, instead of out there. She said, it's too wet. The dew is too wet, and you can take a back set. I said, I'm not going to stay here by myself. And they thought I was funny. While they was in the kitchen fixing breakfast and getting their lunches ready, I had made my bed. Always would make my bed before I come out the room. And I put on my clothes and came out through the kitchen. And so they said, but where do you think you're going? I said, if you get on the wagon this morning, I'm on it. I went home, washed my face, brushed my teeth and everything. So they found out they had to fix enough for me to eat. So they told me to sit up under the shed. I was sitting there, but everything moved, I looked. And boy, this dry grass, all of a sudden it started moving fast. And I saw this snake, and he was headed right towards me. And he was making night. It was a black snake, but a king snake was after him.
Oh.
Boy, I jumped up. And right where I jumped from that black snake ran right there. Went right straight through into that shed. And I jumped up and screamed. And down in the bean field, I had business. With my mother and husband. I was crying. So she looked up. She said, what's the matter with you? I said, Mom, I can't sit up here. She said, why? I said, there's a black snake come running there, and he almost run on me. I said, one of them old red and black and yellow snakes got all them colors. They said, that was a king snake. I didn't know. I said, I ain't going back up there. They said, well, you can't stay down here. I said, I'm going to stay down here. I'm not going back up there. I was honest to goodness crying. I picked 18 crates of onions.
Oh,
yeah, I better than pick 18 crates. My mother and aunt didn't pick for 18.
Well,
and when we got home, I said, gee, I got my fare back to West Palm Beach, Mama. When you go home, I'm going. See, I was living in West Palm Beach, but I was up here visiting my uncle and his wife when I took sick.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I said, I got my fare back to West Palm Beach, I don't care. So I didn't pick 13 crates of beans, so I had the fare back.
That's right.
So my uncle said, Monkey, where you been? I've been in the bean field along with Mom and Ann. What you doing out there? I said, I got tired of leaving me here by myself every morning.
Pneumonia or none.
Look, I told him about the snake, and he cried, he laughed, because he knew I was afraid of snakes.
How old is your mama, Beth?
86, and 87.
Well, how many more of that family's left?
Just my mama.
Just your mom.
Just my mom. More than the girl from Texas. It's her first cousin, her sister, and brother, too.
Yeah. So that sort of sends them out, doesn't it?
That's right.
Well, now, when you took up for your sister, what all?
I didn't care how big you was. I didn't care what I had in my hand. I'd hit you with it. And didn't care where I hit you.
What for instance did you use?
Anything. NJ, the last brother of Nettie's that died. So it's just two of them now, of the Jackson family, just Nettie and Clance. But when the one she went to St. Louis, the 15th of October, I had his shoes. We used to think we was going someplace, coming from Macanopy out here, the Boykin Hills, to see them. We thought it was something, you know, to come out this way. And we always walked from Macanopy from school out here.
Oh.
And we had to walk from out here back into Macanopy. All the children, everybody had to walk that far. Excuse me, nobody riding no bus and no cars. They didn't have nowhere to run. Unless you had old mule you was going to get on.
Good old crooked dusty road.
Well, it wasn't so crooked. But
well, they'd follow the fence rows.
You found some pretty straight roads. Of course, coming by Tuscarora Lake, that was kind of straight. We was always scared because there's a lot of alligators used to come along there. Huge ones, too.
Well,
used to crawl out there late. But anyway, this boy, this Sanders boy, he, you know, used to like to pick at my sister. Used to hold her hand, talking about he liked her. And he caught my sister by the hand that day. I told her, you turn my sister's hand loose. And he wouldn't do it. I had NJ's shoes in my hand. I just come right across his face with him. This is in the strings. You can see where the, you know, the laces in the shoes. I was a little toughy, Mr. Wells.
You really smacked him with them, did you?
I smack you with everything. I didn't care. I just soon, and I didn't care. I hit my first husband one night, and I don't, of course, I just went blind. I went crazy that time. And I just tickled my sister to death.
Yeah.
She said, Mac, you must have thought you had me for your wife. And he told my sister, he said, sister, I never had nobody hit me that hard in all of my life. She said, you thought you had me for a wife.
Yeah. Well, how'd you hit him?
I hit him with my fist.
In the...
I remember catching him up here in the collar. I wrapped that tie around his hand.
Oh.
And he said, I pulled him to me and pushed him. He said he was trying to get loose from me up here, but he couldn't. But he said when I turned him loose, I had hit him. Now, I don't remember hitting him.
Oh.
I just went crazy. I just was mad. And my sister cried. She always said, and that Sunday, I went and bought me 2 pork chops and cooked them. I wouldn't give them a mouthful each. I tell you, I'm good now.
Compared.
Huh? I am good now.
Compared with the way he was.
My little cousin Raslin say, Cousin Bessie, you have changed so much. She said, because poor cousin Mac, she said, I used to feel sorry for him if he got in your way and made you angry. She said, now you look. I said, when I look at Tom, I said, all I do is to look at him. And I said, now the best thing you can do is to get out of my sight. And I won't say no more.
Well, you wasn't the only one in those days. There was a good number of them come up the hard way, wasn't there? Over there in Meganope, that wasn't any bed of
flowers,
was it?
Nah. I've seen my mother and those get out and play rap jack. I don't know if you ever heard tell of it or not. You heard of rap jack?
No. What's that?
No?
No.
My mother and her stepsister and my aunt, my uncle's wife, and my uncle and Miss Catherine's husband, which was my stepmother, my mother's stepsister's husband. And the lady lived next door, the same Buddy Sawyer, aunt, his father's sister, lived next door to us. Well, them women would, you know, that you didn't see, now they wore boots, you know, them old high-top shoes laced up.
Oh.
Well, they'd go in whenever they come from work. But Mama used to cook for Miss Lou Montgomery at that time. And they would put on a lot of clothes, you know, to protect their bodies and all along here. 3 or 4 skirts or dresses. Boy, they'd be so fat, you know, and they were long. All of the women, well, Miss Catherine was very heavy. The Mama and Mamie, which is Buddy's aunt, they were tall. Auntie was short and fat. She was a little runt. She's just about as high as Aunt Bessie. Maybe just about that high. But she made two of Aunt Bessie. And they used to get those old gallberry switches and plait them together. And right, you don't know where the Baptist church, the colored Baptist church there in McAnulfry. See, well, that my mother owned that house there once, but now I know that they have cut it up and people have houses in front of there. But see, now we had enough ground to put two houses in the front and one in the back, but my mother wouldn't do it. She had a garden back there. She had sweet potatoes, white potatoes, string beans, peas, corn, tomatoes, all of that. You know, she just grew her own vegetables and everything for us. We had our own chickens and everything. But in front of us was a hard place, a road, and there was a lot of palmettos and pines right in front, this road. And down in here was a dirt road. But they'd get on that hard surface. And boy, you would see them women and the men. Of course, they used to come far and near, women and men, playing rap jazz. You could hear them, and them switches would hit them dresses. Whoosh, and I'd draw up and I'd cry whenever they hit my mother, my aunt.
Oh, they just slash them.
Yeah, they slash. The women be doing the slashing the men, and the men be slashing the women.
They just
that was their fun.
Is that
they had certain days that they would do that in the afternoon. They all you hear them holler, let's play a rap jack.
They get hurt?
No, they didn't get hurt. They had on too many clothes.
Oh, yeah.
And tough, too.
Yeah, and I'd toughen them.
Yeah, tough. I'd toughen them.
My daddy wouldn't play, though. Because I couldn't blame him. He was too big, you know, and I guess had too much of folks behind a lick.
Oh, yeah.
But he wouldn't. He'd sit there. And I look and I just grit my teeth and just drove. Every time they'd hit my mama, either my aunt.
And they'd hit them going and coming.
No, they'd just throw back once, you know, and hit like that. And then they'd throw back again. Oh. And you see, the women would be getting, I mean, they'd be cutting, hitting the hurt, and they'd get them across.
Well, how long was them gallbear things?
Oh, they were long. Gallberry. See, you could go right out there in the woods and cut them off.
Well,
they had
the
black, some
switch?
Kind of blackberry, huh?
Was that the whole switch?
Well, they'd just be holding a small piece of it, and it was up close to you.
Well, I mean, it was a wood in the switch too. Just
not wood. It's just a switch.
Yes.
You seen it had some kind of blackberries on it, you know, and they'd peel them berries
that
off.
That thing would last a while.
And they would, you telling me to put whips on? That's what we used to get. Do you think they're giving you a lick now?
Robin Savage, if he's getting.
Boy, then I used to sit down and just look, and I would grit my teeth and just drop every time they hit. I said, don't you hit my mama. And my sister would be sitting there, and you could hear all the children. We all be sitting on our porch, you know, while they be playing outside. They be outside playing rap jack.
Rap jack.
Never heard of that before.
That's what they used to call rap jack. See, I said people, you know, years they came up tough.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And they brought their children up, learned to protect themselves, but not to pick a fight. We wouldn't pick one, but I'd fight if you bothered me. That's what I have hippins about. The fighting. Sure, if you'd bother me or bother my sister, I'd fight you, sure.
Uh-huh.
And they know I would.
Well, Miss Dawes is just lucky that you are not quite as fierce as you were.
Well, I tell her just what the way I feel about things.
Because she's not really done anything to you except
it's
lie to you.
It's the children.
Yeah.
It's the children that's being hurt.
Yeah.
You know, as long as I've lived in this country, I still don't know what a gallberry bush is. Isn't that awful? That's a monocle.
I never did drink all this. You know, I haven't been drinking a lot of water either, because it only salt, you know.
Well, I realized that bread has salt in it, and the cheese.
Well, this I hadn't thought about this, but see, I eat that salad now as well.
Yeah.
That's why I kept that. That was good. Now, I haven't seen a gallberry for a long time.
Yeah.
They had little blackberries on the end of them.
Blackberries.
You know, but they were poison. You couldn't eat them.
Yeah. But now,
and we used to take them, see, and sweep the yards with them. Cut them off and bunch them up. And leave the leaves on.
Yeah.
And we'll sweep the yard. Even though when the leaves were shedded off, we use them. People didn't have grass in the yards. All had sand and... had a lot of flowers, and that was my job, to keep the yard clean.
Yeah. And where you had the flowers, you had to...
had to sweep in between them. Or
you had them little brick boys.
Yeah, we had bottles or either bricks.
Bottles?
You know, we'd make a bed.
Around.
Yeah, around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or they'd take bottles and punch in there, like lilies and roses and geraniums and Easter lilies, you know.
Yeah.
Had a lot of those red and white lilies, and everybody's yard was just pretty, and everybody tried to see who could keep the prettiest yard.
Mm-hmm.
And my job was to keep our yard clean, and we had a big yard.
Did you ever grow any of them canna lilies?
Calla lilies.
Canna lilies. They grow them in a big bed, and they liked
that?
A lot of water.
What was that?
It's a door thing.
They liked a lot of water, and what you did, you know, whenever you sowed your water out, you just sowed on the canna lilies.
In fact, we used to take all the water we washed with and water the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's the way, unless you went to the pump and pump water. But we used to take all the water to wash with and water the flowers.
Why, sure. Now, how often did they play that game?
Whenever they felt like it. They used to have certain days, you know, that they would play.
Every week.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes twice a month or something like that, according to how hard they work in the field or something.
Yeah. I tell you. Now, you never did much work in the field.
Mm-mm.
You'd always, you done housework. What did you say? You had washed and cooked. Did you say washed and cooked? You never washed much.
Yeah, I did do a day's work.
Huh?
I did day's work, laundry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, I can do any kind of work if I had to, I say, but I wouldn't want them to put me out in the field. Not knowing those snakes or that, did he? If I had the laundry, I could do that. I can take care of sick. I can take care of children. I can cook.
Well,
and I can clean house.
Yeah.
But today I didn't feel like doing anything.
Yeah,
I didn't, you know, when I got up this morning and I didn't feel good in my head. And I just didn't push myself. Well, I got out of bed at 8:45.
Yeah.
That's late for you.
The 8:45, I did it in the vacuum, the floor, and everything. So I'll go back home now
and
wash that uniform out.
Yeah.
Put it out on the line. Of course, it doesn't make a difference whether I put it on the line or not.
Well, you have to be ready to go down in on Monday morning.
I didn't promise anybody I'm going down
Monday
morning. Because I'm not calling if they can't wake up. And if she called me and say anything, I tell them I'm not coming over.
Betsy, you know what? I don't know. I think you were kind of lucky over there when you growing up there in Micanopy. You had a lot of nice people like your mama and your daddy and all them people. And, they don't have that now, do they?
No, everybody was your mother then. You know, because if anybody else saw you doing something and they got after you, if you got smart about it, they could give you a good whacking and go home. You better not go home and tell your mother. Because you got another one. In fact, you was going to get another one anyway, because Aunt so-and-so was going to tell her whoever give you a whack.
You really behaved everywhere.
Yes, you have to behave. But now if you say anything to these people, children today, the children will curse you out. And the parents too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the parents will curse you out. And the children will too. Because I wouldn't have one that a child would talk back to me. Because it wouldn't have no teeth to chew no bread for a long time. Now, I say, I guess it's because I was brought up, you know, to respect everybody. And I said, now, like, Mr. Miles, these two, three little different jars you're drinking out here. You make me think you got a little bottle head back in there.
It does look kind of
You got three different jars of junk. Take a little sip out of this one, and a little sip out of this one. Now you drain that one out.
I'll take one of the jugs. I'd like some water.
Let me tell you, I thought about it a while ago.
Debbie's a water drinker.
I'll tell you about this water. You see, I drink water all day. And that darn stuff would choke me. And if I just drank water, I don't know what it is. I used to drink plenty of water and it didn't choke me. But now I have to have a little orange juice of some sort or something or other to go along with it.
They told him to drink 8 ounces of water every hour or something like that.
Oh, you don't drink enough water.
And you know, 8 ounces is just about that much. Well, he drinks 4 times that much. Oh,
yeah.
If you're drinking out this Bama, if you're drinking out that Bama thing,
yeah,
you're drinking more than your portion.
That ought to do what they do.
Oh, but now my mama drinks a lot. I tell her all when I go home.
Now you see,
if she drinks too much water, I said, you know, you're not, say, really fat, because she doesn't eat that much. You know, she eats very light.
Oh, you think?
She don't eat rice. I mean, she'll eat a little bit. And in fact, she just doesn't eat too much. And all of them, the doctor has my brother-in-law on this diet, and my sister put them all on it. Because my mother has to eat careful too, you know, she's diabetic. But you never know, last when she's in the hospital and I went home November a year ago, the doctor said her sugar was normal. You see. But my sister gave her one tablet a day. One high blood pressure tablet. That's all she had to take.
Oh, is it?
And because my sister is not a baker. Something like me, that stirs always.
Yeah.
Maggie, I'm glad Bess is home. I'll get a cake now. I'm sick of Sarah Lee's cake, so some of them other football cakes. He fusses about it. But I didn't make one the last time I was home. I was home about 10 days.
Yeah, you just took off.
Made up my mind overnight that I was going. I said I hadn't spent New Year's with my mother for a long time. And I sat there that Thursday. I said, no, do I want to go home? Tomorrow I call up and find out about the bus, about the train. I said, now if I drive, I could be home while I'm messing around with the bus. But the man told me I could get an express. There's 4 out of Ocala a day.
Oh.
All right, the first one was 9:15. I said, Tom, you take me down to Ocala to catch the bus. He said he didn't have much gas. I said, I just had my tank filled up yesterday. You can take me to Ocala and bring the car back in the yard. That meant don't go no further than Ocala and bring it back to me.
Oh,
So I still hadn't gotten my things together. And I called Nettie. I said, you know, I was just trying to think that I wanted to go home for New Year's with Mama. I said, I just feel kind of lonesome. And I said, I just might go home. I said, but I'll let you know. I didn't call her. She didn't think I was in West Palm Beach. But I left, the bus left Ocala on time after he said I could get four. Well, I didn't want to take chances with the second one, and it was a good thing I didn't.
Let me tell you something. Hurry up now and tell about that. I got something on my mind.
And, well, you forget it. So, I caught, the bus left Ocala on time. It was two buses. Just had one, had Miami on it. The other had Miami Express. Well, that's the one I wanted, Miami Express, because when they leave Ocala, they wouldn't stop again until they get to Orlando. Take a drink. And you know, when it pulled out from Ocala and stopped in Bellevue, I said, this is a local. And now I'm on the express. You know, I didn't get into West Palm Beach until 7 o'clock at night.
That's it.
I said, it's a good thing. It's something I never do, make a sandwich. But I made a ham sandwich. And I had some satsumas taken to my mother. It's a girl on there coming from Pensacola, had a little baby, and the pool thing had a cold. It was crying and all. So I gave her one of the satsumas. I said, give her this. Maybe, you know, it was, she was thirsty. I said, it would help her some. So I ate four of the satsumas. I said, well, when I get home, I tell Mama I ate up the satsumas. That's how I was hungry. Well, I got there at 7 o'clock that night. Yeah. They didn't know I was coming.
Uh-huh.
Because they'd have been worried if they did. Not what you want to say.
I forgot.
I told you to take a drink and you remember.
That's it. I was up here. I like to eat at this place. It's on that main street there in Gainesville. It's called the Waffle Shop.
Oh, Waffle Shop?
Yeah. And they make a waffle for you, or hot cakes, or scrambled eggs anytime during the day. Well, we went in there not long ago, and there was a lady at the griddle. Is that what you call it?
Waffle griddle.
You know, she was doing the cooking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't very heavy. She was a little bit heavy. And I got to thinking, you see, about what you was telling us, you see. You stayed on them concrete floors
right there
until they got your feet. And I said to her, first time I seemed like she looked around that way, I says to her, does, you know what, now I was a perfect stranger, and I was a little bit, I wasn't too sure of this. I says, you know, I started off sort of fumbled, you know. If you fumble a little bit, it don't sound quite so smart, Ellie. Well, anyhow, what I asked her was if she ever had in trouble with her feet. And she just cackled, you know. Oh, yes, she had trouble. Well, I thought that was all over. I thought they fixed the floor, and then that they wore shoes. Now, they didn't have trouble with the feet.
That constant standing on that concrete is awful.
Well, now, is that concrete she's standing on?
I'm quite sure all of those floors are concrete.
It has to be, because they wash it all the time, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it had a linoleum or something on top, it still would be.
It'd be the dampness, you know, go through that. But now, you know, some places they put a flat in front of the stove.
Yeah.
But you know, if you got to go move from the stove over here and there isn't anything there, you're still standing on concrete. You know, and how many hours you standing on that?
Yeah.
See, I used to go to work at 5 o'clock, I'd be on the job.
Yeah.
The lady would go around and pick us up. And we start serving breakfast at 6.
Yeah.
I used to make 18 pies before dinner, plus floating aisles, pudding, and jellos, and cupcakes, and all of that.
asbestos.
And I did the other cooking too, because Miss Black just walked out and left us flat one day. And I worked from 5 till 10 at night. It'd be 10 o'clock when I get home.
Yeah. And all that, all the time, you don't...
And wasn't getting but $10 a week at that time.
All the time you're on concrete.
That's right. But now, the range, say, went all the way across from that corner. I said here, because we had a double oven, and we had a grill right in the center that you made all of your hot cakes on that grill. You didn't have to have a separate grill.
Was that gas?
Yes. It was gas. Yeah. And then, all right, now you got all of your meats. We had a fella to, it was two. One that was washing dishes and prepared the vegetables. And I didn't, so when Miss Black walked out that day, I said, oh boy. Miss Martin said, Bessie, said, what are we going to do? She said, because she knew I used to do all the cooking at the house when they had the little hamburger shop. And then I used to make roasts and meatloafs and things at the house, and she'd pick them up, and pies, and she'd take them down to the shop. I'd come downtown that far with her, and then I'd go on home. Because the place wasn't too big for everybody. So I said, well, give me Jimmy. So he said, Shoemaker, I can't cook. I said, well, you're going to learn now. So I put him back at a stove along with me. I had to, you know, just tell him what to do. And I get the meats and get everything. We'd have braised short rib of beef and all that, you know, and put it in the oven. We had to have maybe mashed potatoes and rice, and there'd be cornbread or biscuits or something. I didn't make light bread for him. I never did let him know I could make bread. Only cornbread and biscuits, all I could make. But all the pies I made. I used to make 18 pies for dinner.
18?
Before. Plus floating owls and jellos and puddings. And then after the business, after lunch hour, ask how many pies they'd have up there, and maybe they say we have four. Well, I'd jump in, I'd make about six or eight more. And they'd serve people come in with a coffin pie. That would be apple pies the most. Apple pies, cherry pies, lemon pies.
Yeah. Man alive. Now that was the best time. That was the best time you ever had. Was there when you was there with her?
Who?
Them folks.
With Martin.
Mm-hmm. That was the best time you ever had, and you were there a long time.
Well, I wouldn't say it was the best time, because I worked like heck. I worked for them 5 years. I worked for the. Armour, 13.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that must have been the one.
13.
I worked for them 13 years.
Gee whiz.
They had three boys.
Oh, that's the one, yeah.
I had a wooden spoon. That was my, when they'd walk in the kitchen, they'd say, mine best, I got that old wooden spoon over there. I used to get them all with it. And she'd come in the kitchen and take the top off my pot, I'd pop her with it. So she said, oh, hell, I forgot.
Oh, that's the Amos.
The Amos. I don't know, you know, I call her name several times when you was down at the house. I said, oh, it's all right. I don't know, here lately I've been, look like every time I go to say something, I say, Mrs. Amos. I said, okay, I'll just send her a card.
Yeah.
I keep thinking about it.
Well,
I don't think about it that much. Every now and again, you know, just like I go to call somebody, and I call her name.
Yeah. Who was you working for when you had that toothache?
I was waiting for Miss Armo one time.
Oh.
Well, when I couldn't get a dentist on the weekend.
Yeah.
I was waiting for her, and she took me to her dentist that Monday.
Well, now the dentist is right across the street.
Mm-mm. Well, you must be talking about the first time I ever had toothache. First time I ever had toothache. I was working Meacham's restaurant in West Palm Beach on Detour.
West Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm. On Detour.
Yeah.
I woke up, my tooth was hurting. And I went to work that morning, mad with everybody because I had toothache.
Lord, yes.
I mean, it was hurting. My face was swollen. And I went in the kitchen and I said, "Good morning, Shoemaker." We called everybody in, they was named Shoemaker. Good morning. So Jimmy looked at me, he said, "What's the matter with you?" I said, "I got toothache this morning." So they'd be talking, I said, "Don't question me. Don't say nothing. You don't have to get mad with us." But it kept hurting, so I didn't change words with anybody. Now, that's where I used to make all the rolls and everything.
Uh-huh.
I changed my clothes and walked right straight through the dining room, went up to the desk. Said, "Mr. Carter." He said, "Yes, Bessie." I said, "I'm sorry, I got a toothache, and I got to go to the dentist." So I think it was $2. $3 something ever to pull a tooth. So he gave me $3. And I came on out. Before when I got to the dentist, it had stopped hurting.
Okay.
And I got to the door, I said, "My tooth didn't stop hurting. I don't see why I should go in there and let him pull a tooth." And I started out to go, because I lived across the street from there.
Oh.
And I don't know, I went back then, I peeked in the room and saw all of this apparatus he had written. And I said, "No, all this mess can't go in my mind. I can't get in that chair there, all that." And Dr. Terra wasn't in there, but he was where he could see me. And just as I started to push the door open to walk out, he pushed me. He said, "Wait a minute, where do you think you're going?" I said, "You wait, don't rush me." So he started laughing. I said, "The first thing I want to know, if you're going to hurt me, and the next thing, how much you gonna charge?" He said, "Bessie, you've always been crazy." I said, "I'm not laughing." Seeing my face was swollen. He said,
didn't have to ask you what was wrong.
No, he didn't have to ask me. But I had an abscess. See what caused it to swell.
Oh, yeah.
So he set me in the chair. I said, "Don't be rushing me, Dr. Terrell. How do you know I'm a sickness thing?" I say, from the picture, it looked like what they put the people when they were fixing to electrocute them. So he just laughed. But he had to let that pus out of that gum, out that abscess. And he said, "Now, I'm going to wait a few minutes and use just spit." So I guess he was killing the nerves in that gum also. And then he pulled it. I went home. He said, "I just washed my mouth with some warm, lukewarm salt water. Now they don't want you to wash your mouth. They want to pack your gums."
Oh.
A dentist in New York packed my gum once and I like it went crazy.
Because,
you know, all that cotton, that the flesh grew up over that cotton and all that inflammation and everything was in there. And I made 3 trips down there and Miss English kept calling the lady that I was working for. And the painters in there to say he was away on a vacation. I don't know if he's telling the truth or not. But her daughter kept going down there and they never did see him. And I used peroxide, just with whole peroxide on it. And that way in the night, just like something hot running, you know, I could feel it running down. And I opened my mouth and just pulled the wastebasket and all this stuff just come out.
Mm. Well, Bessie, I thought that that was the time that you just let him pull a whole lot of your teeth.
But doctor, I only had Dr. Friedman, which was Mrs. Amor's dentist.
Yeah.
He just pulled one. Dr. Colley pulled one, and this Dr. Terrell. Those three teeth was all on the side. That's why I have this partial up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
I have all my teeth up to the top except those three. And he cleaned my teeth, and all that he, you know, found that cavities was coming, he filled them. He filled three and cleaned them, cleaned my teeth. He said those three teeth could be saved. But now the time he pulled them all.
Yeah.
It was down here in Ocala.
Yes.
I had toothache. It was my wisdom tooth.
Wow.
Down to the bottom, and I didn't know which. I thought it was the one next to the wisdom tooth. I didn't know it. And it almost run me crazy. And so I just told him, he said, "What I said, I want you to pull them all out." So he said, "Now which one do you think is hurting?" And I caught myself putting my finger on the one ear, and he said, "That tooth is not hurting you." He said, "It's your wisdom tooth." That's when he had to grind down around it. And it had the longest root. He said it had some kind of root, they call them.
Yeah.
He said, "I haven't seen one with a root like this in years."
So you said
that's, I had them all pulled out across. I said, "Well, I won't have to worry about none out of the bottom hurting no more."
So you just let him go ahead and take the rest of them out?
Mm-hmm.
Bessie. Good ones and all.
That did the good ones and all. I just let him take them all out because I didn't know when it was to hurt.
And that was down here at Ocala.
Yeah, Dr. Hamilton.
Well, now, how far along was that when you done that? That's way before you went to New York.
Since we've been living back here. I was taking care of Ms. Merckx.
Oh, that's just been recently.
I was taking care of Ms. Merckx. I woke up with toothache. And I think I called him and told him I had toothache and I had to go to a dentist. At least it started hurting before then. I had toothache all that day. And I called a dentist from over there. I called Dr. Hamilton. And he told me to be in there the next morning at 9 o'clock. So I was there before 9. And my face was all swole out. You know, then swole up again. I said, "Mr. Ken, nothing stay in my head and hurt me like that."
You know, I never had trouble with wisdom tooth, but I have known people who have, and I don't want any of that trouble.
Well, they always say a wisdom tooth. I've always heard it. They say a wisdom tooth is the worst tooth to pull.
You can't get them out. Yeah.
They can get them out. But they don't come out as easy as the other teeth. But that was the longest root, and it had an abscess on it.
Oh, your wisdom tooth had an abscess.
Yeah. And he didn't show me the one I thought was hurting. I said, "Now you have to pull the other one next to it." He said, "Yeah, that tooth laying on there, been laying on there."
What's the first time you ever saw Miss Bootsy?
Who Miss Bootsy? Bootsy used to stay with Aunt Bessie?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Bootsy. We all used to go up there to make it up to school together.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. Didn't know nothing about her being no pie.
No.
What was Bootsy's name? I forgot now, been so long. So when I come in, they say Mariah Pye. I said, "Who in the world is Mariah Pye?"